Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Well, welcome everybody. Ooh, actually, got to play one more introduction.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
So, Grand Rising, everybody. This is Jody Susan with Susan Essentials, and we have today's show, Self-Care. And, you know, our guest is returning. I'm so grateful. Her name is Gina Martel of Zen Horse Barn. And what we're talking about today is I See You. And, you know, Gina came up with this topic because she saw the movie we both did. I saw it because she suggested it, Avatar 1 and 2. So what we're going to talk about, what does it really mean? And I'm going to check my notes here. So if that, I'm looking to the side, that's why. What does it really mean to see someone? And when we have the ability to look inside a person's heart and soul, we can obtain, and I know this for a fact, we can obtain a knowing of who they truly are. So that's how I met my husband. I met his heart. I met his soul. So when we have that knowing, it helps us to understand who that person really is. And We can see them honestly. We know if they're the right person for us or the wrong person for us. We know if we can trust them. We understand their weaknesses, their strengths, and we can accept them in whatever relationship we choose to have. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm also, which Gina doesn't know, I'm going to teach you how to see someone. So let me bring on Gina. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, how are you?
I'm good.
So, get my light studio straightened out.
All good. Looking beautiful. Looking beautiful.
Thank you.
So what does it mean to see someone? What does it really mean to you?
Well, you know, we have the external, mm-hmm. and we have the internal, right? Mm-hmm. Our external, I am auburn red hair, black eyes, 5'4¼". You know,
you're so funny because I'm 5'4¼", and I always used to say that to him, like I'm 5'4¼", man.
I know.
Not that extra quarter. See that quarter. You know?
Because I've always felt so short that I'm vertically challenged. So I've thrown a quarter. Anyway, those are the externals mm-hmm. of us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we drive a car. We do a job. We have a career. We live in a house. You know, those are the externals. The internals in us is our soul, our heart, what makes us behave, think, feel, react, and live the kind of life that we live. Now, I can see how sometimes the internal and the external can get mixed up, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Right.
And our internal becomes focused on everything external. But now, as we are, our planet is now fourth dimension. We are shifting, you know, third to fourth to fifth, that a lot of things are changing in that respect. You know, those of us that are awake and moving in that fourth directional, you know, area, we don't think about the materialistic stuff that we probably used to. I know. I'm sure I did. I'm sure you did too. In third dimension, that's what third dimension is.
I had enough clothing to have bought a house.
Oh, listen. Me too. I mean, I worked in radio in Miami on air for like more than about 40 years. Actually, I'd say 36, but 40 because I continued doing some, you know, weekend gigs and stuff like that. I was constantly making appearances and introducing huge concerts, and you know. You never wear the same dress twice.
Gotcha, right?
Because you're seen in photographs. So, yeah, I recently gave all of my stuff like that, all my little fancy fun clothes, to a younger friend of mine that still goes out and goes to clubs and does all that. She had a total appreciation for it. So it's not my lifestyle anymore, but, you know. But anyway, So in the movie, you know, when they greet each other, they say, "I see you."
Mm, yeah, they do.
Right?
Mm-hmm, they do.
Instead of, "Oh, hi, how are you?" or, "Hey, get over here." You know, it's, mm-hmm. "I see you." Everything in that movie. And I saw Avatar 1, like, a while ago. And then when Avatar 2 came along, I was like, The Way of Water. I really feel called to go and see that. And for people that are awake, And you probably caught all the little hidden things in that movie that we are aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, that's interesting, because those that are not awake, and there's no judgment or anything in that, that's their choice, or that's their karma to stay and do this thing here in third dimension, they probably see it as a regular movie. All those cool, all those effects, and yeah, man looks pretty bad in that movie, you know. Mm-hmm. But those that are awake really get the message. And that "I see you" really stood out to me, because I thought, wow, I see you. That means I see the internal you. I see your heart. I see your soul. I see your intentions. I see who you truly are. And I think I took that a little bit further and I thought, wow, we probably don't really do that, or that needs to become more of a learned skill in relationships with people.
Yeah, I think I'm going to cry. Give me a minute.
What? Are you crying?
I'm going to cry. Getting my cleaner.
Oh, I made Jody cry. I love it.
Well, because, you know, this is so when I met Andrew, he was married.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a ring on his finger, so I wasn't looking at him at all. And we did some volunteer activities together. Oh. And anyway, we were doing some work stuff, and he's sitting on my couch, and I'm sitting at my dining room table, and he was hurting because of his current relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had these gifts. I didn't really know. I didn't have a definition for them at the time, right? He does. So, like, they just kind of pop up like poppy flowers or something.
Yeah, they do. When you're ready, they pop up.
Right. And I went into his heart. My energy went into his heart and his soul. And I walked over there and I took his hand and I started dancing with him.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And because I knew who he was.
Yeah.
He was my heart. And it wasn't until he was vulnerable that I saw that. And so I think a lot of times we put on a mask and we put up walls and we don't even let people in.
We don't. And I work with, I specialize in working with a lot of, mostly women, but men too. I've increased my client load with a lot of men lately, which I'm so grateful to you guys. You know, it is amazing when we first meet somebody and we have that chemistry, right? I think that we do see a certain aspect of that person, right? Mm-hmm. We still don't know if that person is right for us. And when I say that, I don't mean that they're the best chosen partner. I mean, are they healthy, right? Because, you know, when you start seeing somebody and you don't know that they're, for example, a narcissist, right? That narcissist knows exactly how to groom you into...
What is a narcissist? Because I really don't know.
Well... To put it just in, like, raw terms,
yeah,
it's basically a personality disorder, okay, a borderline personality disorder with somebody who either was raised by a narcissist or, you know, grew up in a household that lent to that kind of behavior, okay, that they have such a, it's not even a superiority complex, it's like one. It's that they never think that they're wrong, that everything centers around them. Everything has to center around them. All the attention has to be on them. And if you step out of that line and you say, I don't agree with you, the weapon of choice for a narcissist is gaslighting, right? Where they tell you that you're the fault in the relationship. You're the problem in the relationship. The relationship isn't going to work because you have these issues. Right. So the problem with narcissists.
I just looked it up. So look at this. Person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves.
Right. Exactly. That's what I said. The world, they're the center of the universe. And the problem with narcissism is that they can never admit that there's something wrong with them. So basically, there's almost no cure for narcissism unless a narcissist says, I think there's something wrong with me. Which they really don't do, because that would be
then not a narcissist.
Counterproductive to a narcissist, okay? So, but anyway, My theory is that narcissism and pedophilia, a pedophile, there's this much difference between them, like an inch, because they both know how to groom. They both know how to pull you into that web. It's a power thing, the control thing, you know, is to keep you down in their control. And usually a lot of people that are like that are raised by over demanding, over, you know, controlling parents, you know, rape is nothing to do with sex. It's all about power.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I don't want to get off on that topic. But it leads to this. But I brought it up because it kind of includes in this. So we don't know when we're getting into a relationship unless we're healthy, we've done our work as best as we can. We've cleared up whatever daddy issues we have. We've cleared up whatever mommy issues we have. And we have, we allow ourselves to see the red flags. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, but I also want to say this. Like, I was, before I met Andrew, I was in counseling from, what, 2000? Well, I was in counseling most of my life. But it was in counseling specifically from being disabled from 2014 until 2000, whatever. I mean, but I was in counseling. I met Andrew in 2018, so 4 years. And so I've gone back to work and I've done my work, but I'm here to tell you that's not enough work. I mean, like,
it's like, individual.
Well, that's the individual. Then you get the whole other path of how do you create harmony?
Well, that, okay, so there's another part of this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I've been doing a lot of learning on myself lately, because, you know, you are me, I am you, I am my husband is me, we are all one,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And this goes along with everything in Avatar, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes along with the I see you. So when we are mean and angry at our partner, basically we're also mean and angry to ourselves.
All day.
And if we remember that we are also God, okay, we have that, you know, God, you know, sent everything out and said, experience everything and bring it back to me, polarity, because God wants to experience, Mother, Father, God wants to experience polarity too, right? So we, when we are in our relationships, friendships, work relationships, personal love relationships, it really is so helpful if we can remember that I am you, you are me, we are God. Would you talk to yourself like that? Probably not, unless you have leftover issues, which I believe, unless you have leftover issues that you have never resolved.
And I don't know anybody on the planet who doesn't have leftover issues.
Exactly, because we came to this planet on purpose. We volunteered to come in and do the work that's going on now.
Can I rescind that?
Can
I rescind that?
Yeah. But if we see why we're doing this work, because we are the ones that have woken up. Everyone's going to wake up, but we're the ones that choose to walk in this path towards other direction. We're helping. We came in as, and Dolores Cannon talks about it all the time. We came in as the wanderers, starseeds, and we are helping people, you know, to wake up and become the best version of themselves, to do everything to the highest good of themselves. So, you know, I know a lot in my work, you know, when someone wants to come in and work with me, I make them call me. I'm not going to call them because I need to see that they're serious, that they want to make the effort to do it, right? And then they have to pay me, because if they don't, they're not investing in themselves, right? Okay.
It has to be a fair exchange of some sort.
Exactly. And so, and they have to do homework, you know. But this is what they wanted to do. Now, some people go, this is too much work. I don't want to do this. And they actually will quit in the middle of working with me. And I'm like, there's really, I mean, that's their journey. There's nothing I can do about it. But when we really clear a lot of our baggage inside, and we become, we realize that we are responsible for our own happiness. We are these amazing beings inside.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing that really matters right now is love and forgiveness, right? It makes it easier to see who people are inside. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody you see is going to be a great idea for a relationship or even a friendship. You could see them as, okay, you still have a lot of things to work on. That's great. But I see you. I honor you. It doesn't mean I'm going to have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where really seeing somebody and seeing those red flags. But, you know, a lot of people want to ignore those red flags because they're scary. The fear of being alone and giving up a relationship is scary to some people. They don't want to be alone.
But I want to go on the limb and say it's not just about your love relationships.
Oh, no, it's friendships, it's business, it's every relationship you have.
Yeah.
I see you applies to every relationship.
Yeah, and the thing is that I know that growing up, we were always told you could be seen but not heard.
I hated that.
Me too.
That
just means you're supposed to blend in with the wall so you're not seen or heard.
Mm-hmm. That also means you're not important enough to listen to.
That's right.
Or to be seen. That, and I had a lot of that growing up myself, hearing that, mm-hmm. you know? So I understand exactly what you're saying. And that's why I see you applies even more then. Because we should always see, you know, I developed this skill years ago, and I find it really, really helpful. Sometimes when somebody's acting, you know, out of character, they're upset, they're angry, they've got issues, they got big problems, whatever. I don't know where I got it, but I developed the ability to be able to see them as a child. When you can see someone as a child, you actually see them before.
You met them, yeah. Sorry.
Before all the stuff started in their life that changed them to go down that darker path or that sad path.
Yes. And we can see them as a child and stay in judgment. Or we can see them as a child and then shift ourselves. Right? And become the figure that they needed at that age.
Yeah, that is very true.
And you can you can shift, you become the figure they needed. You become the, give me a minute, you become the parent, actually, that they needed at that age. So they can wipe that slate clean. So instead of going in throttle, which I have done, right? Shift mm-hmm. the thinking and come in with compassion, love, and grace.
Right, but you're talking about a personal relationship.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay, so when you see people on the street, mm-hmm. obviously you can't step in to be their parent, but
no.
When you're looking at criminals, when you're looking at people that have done things that are, you know, I've been able to see them as a child and what went wrong, you know? So, I mean, and because I have such a tender place in my heart for kids, I look at them, I can see the innocence and the beauty of that child. And so that is also seeing, right, who that person was before they had some horrible thing come in and kind of screw up their lives, you know, and make them become an alcoholic or make them go use drugs or make them, you know, do self-harm or things like that. So I see you for me. The reason I wrote about it was because I thought it was an interesting way to change the way that we talk to people in our lives and look at people in our lives. So when I say I see you, it really includes no judgment. I see you. I see who you are. I accept who you are. I know what you're capable of. I know what you're not capable of. I know you, who you are as a being, as a person. You know? Mm-hmm. So when you get to that level, I think it shifts the way that we talk to people, the way we interact with people. We are more accepting. We don't feel like we have to control them. We don't have to tell them they have to do this better or you know, we're going to act badly to them or we're going to leave or whatever. I mean, it really does shift your mindset when you can become more like that. And hopefully you have a partner, if you're in a personal relationship, you have a partner who has that thinking too. The hard part is when you are very awake and very accepting and you have someone who's not there. There's no judgment on that. It's totally fine, but it makes it hard, you know?
Well, I would say there's judgment on that. Well, because what happens is when you're, look, I got that wake up call about judgment in 2016. I was working with this doctor, a functional medicine doctor, and I had judgment around smoking. And he goes, Jody, you can't judge that. And I said, well, why not? We know it's bad. And it was almost like he needed a 2x4.
Thinking in the head. Yeah. So you're talking about your judgment. Yeah.
My judgment. Yeah, my judgment. Yeah. I'm owning it. You know.
Oh, no. And let me tell you something. I would totally agree with you on the smoking thing because my mom died from COPD, final stage, and she never quit because those things are so damn, addicting.
Hon, I
love you. And she refused. She died. So I know.
Yeah, you're terrible. Yes. I mean, three people I know, right?
Yeah.
Smoking was, one had lung cancer. Yeah, you know, it just showed up in cancer or issues in the rest of the body. But, so we know how damaging it is. But what I had to look at was not that behavior. So I'm going to just put this out there. You know, if you have a friend who smokes, and I have a friend who smokes, right, and I love her, and I'm not looking at the behavior. I'm looking at what she needs or he needs, right, to get through the day because of the wounds that they're trying to heal.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we see it. We see it also of what can happen. I mean, my oldest son smokes. I hate it. But, you know, he came out of a very bad drug addiction, and that's where they all go. They all switch to becoming addicted to coffee and cigarettes, So it is hard. But you know what? And my doctor, who's a friend of mine, I was talking to him about it one day, and he goes, listen, you have to make a decision as to what is the lesser evil. Doing the drugs that he was doing, which were heroin and crack, or smoking cigarettes.
Right.
Okay, I don't like the smoking, but at least he's not doing the other stuff.
Yeah, and you have to look at it as a process because, you know, actually this is very relatable. So I was, as you know, and most people know, well, maybe they, actually we have a lot of new people on here today. So I was a bodybuilder. I benched 185, right? And I weighed.
Wow, I did not know.
Oh, you did not know. Yeah, I took second place in a contest benching 185.
Wow.
Yeah. More than my body weight, right? I was in excellent shape. And, you know, then in under the radar comes, you know, all the GMO foods. And my brain's getting messed up. I don't know what's going on. But the point is that once they put me on all those medications, 34, 35 pounds. A lot of weight for a five foot four frame. And my brain, whatever those medications were doing, was basically not turning off the center that controls my appetite and being satiated. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this was a big learning for me, because once I got off the medication, I reset my brain, because I was using sound frequency for that. My appetite went right back to, you know, eat something and now you're full and you stop eating, right? So a lot of people don't know that the things that they're exposed to are causing them to overeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they are not aware of that, they could be struggling to do the one thing, like get, in the case of your son, whatever drug, mm-hmm. get off that one drug, but I got to have my cigarettes, because there's something in the brain that's not functioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't pretend to be a brain expert, although I am studying brain health through Amen Clinics, but I still won't be a brain expert, okay? I don't like the word expert. I'll say brain enlightened. And so when that's so people do the best they can with what they got,
right,
in terms of what they can give up. But it's a process. Like, so I know that when I was younger and no drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, it was very difficult for me to give up the sugar, right? Well, why is that? Well, there's, you know, I just want to enlighten people here. It's like the 50s or 60s, I'm not sure about the date, but when they created Dr. Pepper, that soda.
Yeah, which I used to love.
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
So they created a formula. It's called the Bliss Point. And the exact amount of sugar, cane sugar, which is addictive, lights up 8 pleasure centers in the brain,
uh-huh.
to have you crave more. So it wasn't too sweet, not too sour, the exact amount that most of the population would find addictive and crave more. And then they took that formula and they sold it to every food manufacturer in the world. And here we have processed foods with that formula that has you be addicted to stuff. And you can't crave.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and they did it with cigarettes too, right? There's addictive.
Yeah.
So when you are listening to this, I want you to understand it's not your fault when you don't know this. Right?
Yeah, well, a lot of things have been kept from us. In many respects, not only with all that terrible food that we, you know, we can only find at the grocery stores, and we can't eat really healthy, I don't believe, unless we go totally organic and grow our own stuff, which is what I want to start doing. But it's in many regards. I mean, look, we were, this whole concept of I see you, we've been shown, you know, models, female models, male models that look perfect, even though they're all
airbrushed. Yeah.
And, you know, edited. I mean, listen, I did plenty of enough TV work and stuff that I know a lot of my pictures, you know, were airbrushed because I had a wrinkle up here or I had something over here. You know, I needed to drop 5 pounds, you know, to be whatever. And so we get into that mindset as well. And we've been told that all those things, you know, are what makes us happier people, better people, which it's all nonsense.
Acceptable people.
Acceptable people.
It's how we're accepted.
That people
how we
accept
are seen.
And, right. So when you say, I see you, you're seeing what is raw and inside of somebody and not seeing all the external stuff that when we started I was talking about.
Yeah,
we don't you know, we see who they truly are in their heart, good or bad, good or not so good. Let's just say that. I don't like to use the word bad.
Good or not in alignment with your values.
Not in alignment.
Yeah. I'm going to go to commercial real quick, and we're going to come back and talk about, you know, even if you see someone and you see, and, you know, how do you, you know, gently let that go?
Oh, can totally help with that.
Yeah. I had to do it yesterday. It was not easy for someone, a friend, someone we worked with and is also a friend. But we'll talk when we come back. I'm going to get my commercials going here. We're not going to do many. Please don't leave us. We love you.
We're so
excited
yes, you
to have you, see you. So let's do that.
Curious Tucson, a Tucson Essentials, was misdiagnosed and nearly died in 2013. Instead, she chose to reclaim her health using plant and energy-based healing. After losing 92 pounds, she now offers a psychologist and doctor-recommended functional food program focusing on Tucson, toxic-free living, and a connection to our brain. Tucson Essentials, re-engineered with health plus products, with a self-paced functional food program, are now available to you with a plan starting at just $99.
All right, one quick more. Here we go.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Poussin. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back with Self-Care, and Gina Martell with Zen Horse Barn. And we've been putting up the banner so you know how to get in touch with Gina. So, you know, she's at 786-473-9494. That's an easy number. And it's a god job. It's a god job, right? CoachGinaMartell.net. Right. And, you know, I want to just, I have two links up here. The other one's CoachGinaMartell.net post I See You. So Gina wrote about this on her blog. And so I encourage you to visit her website. And I'll put the, let me just do this. I will, I can do this correctly. Yes, I can. And there we go. I will put this link in our thread, because I think you may want to read, you know, her blog on this subject matter. It's nice to be able to listen here on the show, read about it, and I encourage you to also go see the movie. So,
thank you. Technically, you're so much better than I am with this stuff, how you move this stuff around in the show.
So, you know, I learned, and this is interesting because people don't realize, sometimes they don't think that I'm actually listening to them, but I have learned to compartmentalize and make my, I've always been ambidextrous because I was a gymnast, right? And so I'm able to almost compartmentalize and have one thing do one thing and the other part of my brain really active listen over here, because I was forced to do it because I have to run the show on my own.
Yeah, no, I remember, you know, doing my radio shows, and I had a board. It was so huge, a console that was 500 buttons, and I only needed to use 4 of them.
Okay, that would be overwhelming. I do have a command center, so one over here, and then, of course, I also have the phone now. We run Blog Talk on the phone so that we don't have interferences, and so far, so good today. I'm so grateful. And, but, you know, I think that it's important because I had this lesson yesterday. I had to lovingly release somebody where their lifestyle was actually causing me pain. And I believe that it was a test from the universe for me to say no, because it would have taken me back in my path.
Yeah, that's part of your self-love lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. And I like this person. He's a good man. He's a really good man. But I said to him, I said, the lifestyle that you lead, which put our company last, you know, is hurting me. And so I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go, that makes me not good for you and my company not good for you.
Right.
You know, and you can love the person and not be able to be with the person. And why don't you talk about that?
Absolutely. And that is something that people need to realize, that just because a relationship doesn't work out doesn't mean that you don't like that person anymore, doesn't mean that you wish ill for that person. Actually, when things don't work out, you can lovingly send them away in another direction, and you send them with love, you know, and you send them with light. And so even breaking up with somebody, right, mm-hmm. there's a way to do that, and I teach this. And when people get how easy it is and how not stressful it is, because, you know, when you think about breaking up with somebody, any kind of relationship with somebody, right, you get all worried, you get stressed, oh, my God, they're gonna be mad at me, they're not gonna like me, or I'm so upset with them, right? That's the worst time to end a relationship, is out of anger, because you're making the wrong decision. It's like drunk texting, you know. You shouldn't do it, right?
Well, and it might end up being the right decision. It's never about the what. It's always about the how, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And just like that being said, the way that the things that happen in our life, it's a whole lot easier than that, right?
Wait, what? You just cut out.
Oh, did I just come out? Hello, I'm here?
Yeah, yeah. It was an ocean wave going through your microphone.
Oh.
That was weird.
That was weird. It's all about also how we react to things, right? That's what we're being taught, is how to react. So if you need to end a relationship with anybody, the right way to do it is basically sit them down when you're not angry, and just say, listen, I love you. I appreciate all this time that we've had together. Now, let's just take it as a personal relationship, a relationship ending. I love you. I appreciate all this time together. I've had a lot of fun with you. I've learned a lot of things with you. But we are going in two different directions. So you go do your thing. I'm going to go do mine. But I so appreciate this time that we had together. I love you, and I wish you well, but this is not the direction that I want to go. And we have a right to say that to somebody, just like they have a right to say it to us. But if you do it like that, a couple of things will happen. if you do it to a guy, because a lot of women, they don't know, they're in these relationships that go on and on and on, and that's a whole other topic. But when they need to break up with a guy, the last thing you do is give a guy an ultimatum. Don't ever give a guy an ultimatum. Either we get married or I'm out of here. Chances are they might marry you, but the marriage is never going to work out, because the guy has to pursue. He has to be allowed to pursue.
Really?
Yeah. And so if you can end the relationship like that and say, I love you. I want to get married. You don't. I want to have a family and kids. You don't. That's okay. There's no judgment on that. You go do your thing. I'll go do mine. Right? A couple things may happen. And I've seen this repeatedly. the guy is so stunned that you're not being a biatch about it and yelling at him to, you know, get off the pot if he's not going to do anything, right? You're just accepting them. You're seeing them, mm-hmm. and you're honoring them.
Yeah, and to do that is huge.
It is huge, and it's not easy, but it's a gross skill, let me tell you. So when you do that, the guy's going to be so stunned that you're not yelling at him and not giving him an ultimatum. If he really, truly is in love with you, because there's a difference, he may say, no, wait, hold on. I want that stuff too. And then it's his decision to propose or marry you, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I am biting at the bit to tell you this story.
Well, let me finish. And then go ahead. If the guy doesn't want to marry you,
uh-huh.
then he can leave. And guess what? You win too.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would you want to be with anybody who doesn't want to be with you?
Amen, sister.
Okay. So that's, and sometimes they go away, and then after like a week or two, they're thinking, what did I do? Wait, that's the best woman I've got. I got to get her back. And then they come back. So it's all by, I do this stuff based on how the horses do. I let the horses make their decision. If they want to work, if they want, you know, obviously I want them to do stuff, but I let them come to me and stuff like that, right? It's kind of the same thing. So if you can let that happen, then you don't end up doing any, you know, forced weddings, forced relationships that will not work out, and things come together as they should.
Yeah, you know, I have a picture on my wall that was given to me as a child by my mother of Raggedy Ann and Andy. And it says, if you love something very, very much, let it go free. If it was meant to be yours, it'll come back and then love it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my lesson in life. That's why she gave it to me almost by at birth, probably. It has a new frame now. But you know, but I was in my 20s, and I was dating a guy. We'll just make up a name. Sam I Am, right? And I was a practicing Jew, you know, at the time. I'm now a Christ follower, actually more of a source follower. But anyway, my father said, Jody, and he was Catholic. He says, Jody, you have to marry a Jewish man. And I said, okay, so you got to get him to convert. So if anybody's listening to this, this is a bozo no-no. Okay? You don't ask somebody to convert the religion in honor of you. Okay?
Yeah.
So we make an appointment. Let me reframe. I made the appointment with the rabbi so he could come down and talk to the rabbi about marrying me and converting.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm the only one who showed up. It was my lesson. Daddy is not always right. You know, don't
yeah. So, yeah, but that's good. I mean, because you can't force. Why would you want to force? And that's a hard thing to accept and to change about yourself.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Is that. You're like, whoa, hold on a second, but that's what I want. Yeah, but that's what you want.
Yeah, love me, love my dog, right?
So, yeah,
or
exactly.
Parrot in my case, yeah.
Exactly. And so that also goes to the I see you. I see that you are who you are, and I'm not going to try to change you, force you. But if you're not going to work for me, if the things that you do and the way you behave, and that's fine. I accept that, but they're not going to work for me. So you have an awesome life.
Yeah, but I also want to make sure that people understand, like, this is not leaving the tube, the cap off the tube of toothpaste. I want to make sure people, you know, they need to not focus on the small stuff.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. But what I'm talking about is those red flags, those big red flags, the obvious things. I mean,
those. Yeah.
the petty stuff is like that great book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The small stuff is really just the small stuff. So, I mean, but if you talk to, you know, and I think I've mentioned this before in your show, if you talk to a couple that's like 85 years old and they've got 60, 65 years of marriage,
mm-hmm.
and you ask them, how did you stay together? It was hard. There was a lot of obstacles. There was a lot of challenges. Yeah, life will throw that at you. But then you have to say, but what kept you together? It was the glue. And I believe the glue is your love. And there's Elmer's glue, there's Gorilla glue, there's cement, you know, there's wood glue. There's all types of glues. How strong is your glue? It's like, are you in a relationship or in a relation canoe? Because a relationship can weather those storms.
A canoe cannot.
It has to be one hell of a storm, like hurricane, tornado, and sea monsters to really rip apart a ship, right? But in a canoe, when things get difficult, the canoe rocks and can tip over easier than what a ship can. So that's what you have to ask yourself. Are you in a relationship or a relation canoe?
Yeah, and I had some really good advice about a week ago, maybe over a week ago. And they weren't really giving me advice. They were talking about a story about one of their clients, a couple, husband and wife, and they were married for 61 years. Well, she's actually one of the hosts for the show,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Debbie Gray.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a healing class together. And someone asked, she shared this story with the group about how this couple had stayed married for 61 years. And the answer by the couple was, we agreed that we were never going to leave each other. Like, we were going to, like you could get mad, you could walk away, but we were never really, we're never going to leave each other, even if we needed a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Create a relationship where you're constantly threatening the other person that you're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
There's no foundation.
No.
And so the shift in the thinking that you, you know, because now you have to go back and you have to look at how you were brought up. Because in our family, we were brought up to leave. To exit.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a foundation.
Right. But there are some couples
mm-hmm.
that do need to split up.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying.
They should not be together. And I've certainly worked with several couples like that. And I feel bad. But, I mean, they have to be honest with each other, too. I mean, if it's getting abusive, if it's getting physically exhausting and emotionally draining, something needs to change there, you know.
Well,
because sometimes we marry the wrong person.
Yeah,
right?
but sometimes there's if the main issue is that someone feels that they're going to be left and left, and so that constant state puts that person in a constant state of fight or flight.
Yeah, and that's one of those issues that I'm talking about, you
yeah.
know, in a lot of relationships. That's why it's always a good idea to, before you get into a relationship, work on yourself. I start young as I can with my clients, because I've got a 23-year-old right now that I'm working with, and she is just delightful. I just love this kid. Lots of energy she's got. But her parenting did not teach her a lot of things that were essential for her to know as a young woman in this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's made some choices, you know, and I'm working with her on that. So I'm grateful that she had the foresight to come and start working early to remove a lot of that stuff, which will make her a better partner for somebody if she's not carrying a whole Samsonite warehouse of luggage behind her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and because of the way this world is, we've all had to go through so many things. And we know, you and I know, and you know, everybody who believes all the stuff that we do, we know it's karmic. We know that there's reasons for it, you know, to help make us better people, to help us go through the things that we chose to go through, learn forgiveness, learn love, learn acceptance, you know, all those things. So, but it doesn't make it any easier to clear them out.
Not
you know?
At all. I mean, although I will say, I disagree. It is easier now for me because I stopped having an attachment to the outcome.
That's you. I'm saying collectively.
Oh, collectively. No.
Yeah. Not, I mean, individually, yeah. I certainly have cleared out a lot of my stuff too.
Yeah.
But you have to really want to do it and you have to be able to see it. You have to really seriously be able to look at it, and that's shadow work. And that's tough. That's tough stuff. But
yeah,
that,
and in the
that,
movie, they did a lot of shadow work, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you talk about that? What was your favorite part?
Oh, wow. There's so many beautiful parts. Well, I love the whales, the Tolkien whales.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
But it killed me when they went in and they captured them and they went into their brain for serum that, I mean, that's just crazy. I loved all the underwater stuff and swimming with the whales and speaking with the whales. I thought that was just magical. But I think the part that really got me was the end. And I don't want to do a spoiler alert here, but the ending with the sun and the words that were spoken around about water.
Yeah.
I mean,
I got
that
all
just,
over my body.
That's when I started crying, and that just gave me goosebumps, and I was like, oh, my God. It's, yeah, I get it. It's so true.
There were a lot of lessons in there about how, you know, I'm going to go back further where the young men were taunting each other, right, to be competitive and outdo and they knew which buttons to press. Right?
Very, very male behavior.
Yes. And also there's the divine masculine within many women. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it, to me, I'm like, okay, so that's a game, right? And the parents were very involved.
Yeah.
In the rearing or raising of these boys and girls.
Yeah.
Which is not as present as it is today.
How can it be? We have every single thing to deflect, to distract, to yank away. You know, we have just to talk about cell phones. Everybody's cell phone is attached to them, you know. I mean, I am totally guilty of walking with my cell phone in my hand as I'm having a conversation with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to hang up with her, and I go, I got to go, but I can't find my cell phone. And my daughter says, Mom, look in your hand. I'm talking, mm-hmm. right, that that's just one thing. But they didn't have all those distractions. They did things. I mean, you know, when you and I were kids and we could go outside and play in the dirt and go barefoot and lay on a hill somewhere and watch the clouds go by. And we played ball and we played games and all those things that we did outside. We just don't really have that going on right now. And when I'm working with these younger 20-something-year-olds, it's amazing that one of the things I tell them is I want you to, and I, sometimes if I'm FaceTiming them or they're here with me, I'll say, put on your shoes. We're going to go outside. Mm-hmm. The grass. And then once we get outside, take off your shoes. And once you sit down under this tree, lean up against the tree, connect with the tree, and just feel the earth. You know, they've never done that. They've never done that. I'm so stunned. And I feel sad for them because, first of all, you know, the trees will talk to you. The earth will talk to you. You have Mother Nature all around you. And this is what is seriously lacking is the connection to nature. Did I ever tell you about the Earthing movie?
No.
Oh, my God. You got to watch the Earthing movie. It was on Prime Video. I think it still is. It is an amazing movie about the benefits of going outside and walking barefoot and connecting with nature. And you will see the effects that doing that have. It was created by this cable guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, installing cable. And he's the one that came up with the idea of putting more than one connection to things on your computer and on your cable. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that led to cable TV, so you could get all these channels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So doing that, he got very curious one night, and he said, I wonder if you could do this with the body. And so he rigged up this cable, and he felt completely different. And he was so into it that he actually went to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
To the research and medical department and said, hey, I got this thing that I'm doing. Are you guys interested? And they're like, get out of here. You're crazy, right? They sent him off. But then he found this, was he an anesthesiologist or something like that, that he kind of believed him. And he said, I'm going to prove you wrong. And so they did like x-rays and they could show inflammation reduction, seriously, from just walking in the ground for 20 minutes a day.
Wow. Yeah. And
it helps your body.
So here's the movie. Is this the one that you're talking about?
Yeah, I guess they changed the cover of it. The other one that, the other cover is just green. It's just in a patch of grass. That's the long version, I guess. Gaia. Yeah. I would say that is probably it.
2019 documentary.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, it sounds like it's a good thing that we should all watch at some time. And probably going to be what I watch tonight, to be honest. You've never led me astray.
thank you.
The movies that
it's
you
astounding.
Suggest. You are my movie and book go-to person. I'm going to tell you. Because, you know, I've got the books like How Not to Die, Toxic Free Living, Social Conversations. You know, they're not as much fun, I'm just going to tell you. And Trey Jackson's on here. He was, so we have Kathy. Let me start with Kathy. She says, you also have to want to go through the shadows to come out brighter and better. You know, totally agree, Kathy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's people, I think, are often afraid to do the shadow work because of the mm-hmm. pain that's involved with that.
A lot of pain.
Yeah, it involves tears, you know, and you have to look at, you know, you can't be doing the blame shame thing, right?
No, so here's the thing. When you start going through the shadow work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and usually somebody's going to call you out on it, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody will usually call you out on it. You hear it on the external part of your heart, unlike the outdoor porch, mm-hmm. so you say, of your heart.
Yeah.
But when you start to heal that,
yeah,
you do the work on the inside of your heart. And there's so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have done a tremendous amount of shadow work myself. And I can tell you, I mean, when you've got kids, oh, my God, you have shadow work. And you just, it's like something kicks you in the stomach, you know, and you go back and you think, oh, my God, you know, wow, But remember, in your shadow work, a lot of things that we did, a lot of the choices we made, the behavior that we had, we did what we did at that time because it's all we knew.
Okay, repeat that, please, because I want people to really get that part.
When you've done whatever you've done and you need to do your shadow work, remember, you did what you did at that time because that's all you knew what to do.
Right, so now let me pull up the reins on that and say, forgive yourself.
Forgive yourself. Absolutely, forgive yourself. Because, look, when I had my kids at 30, and it's not just about my kids, it's other stuff in my life that I had to work through, we've all had to work through. I wasn't who I am today. I didn't know. I've always had a side to me that was somewhat open and believed, you know, because I told you before, my superpower is ghosts, right? So I had that, but I didn't have the enlightened part, the enlightened puzzle piece that goes with that, that really helps you be who you are, acknowledge who you are, fix the things that you want to fix. So you don't know. And certain circumstances, maybe you're in an abusive relationship, right? And you leave. And then, you know, your husband comes back after you and says, oh, you left me or whatever. You know, you have to go to court now. Well, I did that. I mean, that's what I had to do because I felt my life was in danger or I didn't know any better or no one had taught me or I was too weak. You know, you do what you need to do at that time, but because you don't know any better. But then, yeah, divorce is, I mean, I just looked at that email. So
yeah.
Divorce. Forgiveness is really essential at that point. And when you can forgive yourself and you can ask that person who you did it to for forgiveness, that's also very healing too.
Yeah, I want to tell you that, and he'll be on the show. I'm going to tell you about this guy. He'll be on our show February 14th, right?
Oh, Valentine's Day.
Yep. And I'm just going to bring it up real quick. Hold on. All right. Let me just share this. So there, my husband and I and you and like, you know, 1,000 other healers, not all of them were present at that time or online, but some of them just came in energetically. I just want to bring clarity to that. And actually, this is you, me, and Andrew. So this is Michael in the chair.
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And his big thing was not forgiving himself. And so you and I and Andrew and everyone in there and everyone who came in, you know, we're the conduits for healing and we focus on forgiveness, right, and self-love.
Mm-hmm.
So he's no longer in a wheelchair, no longer on oxygen. He's working. He's back working. He was out of that in a month. And so he's the demonstration, he's the experience that we all needed to feel and hear and see and watch about the power of forgiving ourselves for the things we only knew at the time. Right?
Exactly.
And so when the body, and for the people who don't know this story, they sold his house. They put his house on the auction block. They took away his car. They put him into hospice and wrote him off for dead.
Wow.
Yeah. He got his house back. He got his car back. He's alive.
I know. I saw him just walking the other day. I was like, wow. That's amazing. But I can tell you that in that moment that we were there, I had goosebumps the whole time, feeling the amount of love pouring out to him in that church. And I don't know, I was like taken over. Like I was not in my body. I was completely.
We all were. I mean,
and
I mean, just, and I could see, you know, it's so amazing. We go through these things and then someone comes along that needs our help and our teaching and our healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, like, at least for me, I could connect to him in such a way because I knew how that felt when you hadn't forgiven yourself. I remembered that part of me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so emphatically, I could really tell him, you have to forgive yourself, you know. And people don't realize that they, in all that stuff that they carry with them, that's where all the pain comes from. All the pain, all the depression, all the sadness.
Right, because we are trained.
Yes.
We are programmed to
brainwashed,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely.
To not love ourselves.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that is not how this works.
No, but that goes deeper. That's what the Anunnaki wanted us to do, is not love ourselves, not remember, not know who we really are. And that's a whole other topic. But, I mean, it is true. We are not. And to break out of that matrix of that belief, you mm-hmm. know, is hard. It's hard. But you're doing it. So, I mean, don't you feel like incredibly free?
Yes.
That we have this, that we don't have to be locked into, you know.
Anybody else's agenda or idea. Right?
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you what happened to Andrew and I. You want to flip out?
What?
Okay, so we go to Kennesaw Recreation Center. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk to you about programming right now.
Okay.
So we go there. We're playing pickleball. I'm having a blast. Andrew and I are creating harmony on the court. It is good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go to the bathroom and I come back and I check my phone real quick and there's this thing they want us to sign a waiver. Yeah. So I'm actually going to get that waiver up for y'all because it's just so crazy. So people are not really reading, right?
Yeah,
Let me make sure I have the right one up. That is not the right one. Give me 1 minute because people, it's so important that you read what people are asking, okay? So... And I do this because I've got some peeps that listen to this show from Kennesaw, and I suspect Kennesaw is not the only one doing it. Now, I understand that they're reviewing this today because I asked them to. So it's a, you know, real quick thing. It's no more than like four paragraphs. You see they're pretty small. And it says, and so we're programmed just to agree. So here's the programming. Let me make some. We're programmed to just agree so that we could do what we want to do. Okay, right? Don't make waves, my daddy always said. So it says, I, the undersigned, give permission to the city of Kennesaw to obtain and authorize medical care for participants at any hospital, emergency medical center, or any other health city by any medical doctor, osteopath, nurse, surgeon, or any other medical practitioner. I also agree to be responsible for the expenses of any medical care required. And I hold the staff authorizing medical care harmless from any damages suffered by the participant as a result of medical treatment authorized. Now,
wow.
Wait. It doesn't say there's an emergency. It doesn't say I'm out cold. It doesn't say that I have a guardian or someone who can sign for me like my husband, right?
Right.
It just says by playing pickleball or basketball or entering into this place, I assign my medical rights over to somebody I don't freaking know. That's a program. Now, it was so programmed, okay, in that the people at the center said, well, of course we'd want them to do that in emergency. And I said to them, I've got several attorneys in my family. I said, where in that paragraph does it say anything in about an emergency? It just says I assign my rights. So we're programmed to believe that we must agree and sign over stuff, even if it's not for our highest good. Like, just go with the flow. Go with the narrative. Go with what everybody tells you to do, and make everybody else happy. People pleasing, thank you, no.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a quick story. Years ago.
Yeah.
I had this weird, like, parasympathetic nerve. Like, my feet were kind of numb on the bottom.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was going up my legs, right? And it was really, I just didn't know what it was. This is when I was in Florida. And one night, it was like 5:30 in the morning, and I said, I can't take it anymore. I got to go to the hospital. Sorry. And so Justin and I don't think we were married. We weren't married at the time, but we were living together. And so he took me to the hospital, took me to the wrong hospital, because I went in the emergency room. My daughter went with us. And the doctor with the emergency care guy says, I got to do a spinal tap. I had a spinal tap when I was a baby, and my mom told me it took 5 people to hold me down. So I'm like, no, we're not doing a spinal tap. He's like, I have to do one because you've got sympathetic nerve stuff going on. Could be in your legs, could be anything. And I'm like, all right. He goes, give me 25 seconds. He has 25 minutes later. He's still poking around in my back. I'm feeling it in my legs. I'm throwing up. He did not know what he was doing, right? Mm-hmm. So he comes back a few minutes later and he says, in front of my daughter, okay, you got Guillain-Barré. It's a very rare disease and you're going to die. Just like that. Now, later, I wish I sued the guy, but I didn't.
Well, that takes more out of you.
Care.
Hold on. I just want to say that takes... Thank you for not suing the guy, because that takes more out of you than it does out of them.
I didn't want to go through it.
Yeah.
So they moved me upstairs. They did not put me on an intubator, although they said they were. And they said, we're going to have to give you a plasma transfer and, you know, all that stuff.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 52.
Okay.
So
not too long ago.
Yeah. So I'm like, when somebody says to you, you're going to die, forget the fact that they did it like that in front of my daughter, which was not even understandable. I took a moment and I said, oh, okay. That was reality. Like, it hit me. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Okay, this is how I go. I have lived a very full life, plenty of challenges. I wanted to do more in my life, but if this is it, this is it. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, right? So took me upstairs, did all this stuff with me, came back and said, we don't think you got Guillain-Barré. We think you need cervical surgery, blah, blah, blah. P.S., 4 days later, after going through MRIs, being told I had this, I didn't have this, I was going to have a, you know, transfer all my plasma or do a blood transfer or, you know, any of that stuff. They came back and they said, yeah, we're sending you up to do cervical surgery. And if you don't have it, if you have a car accident, you could become a quadriplegic. If you don't have it, you'll never ride horses again. And that's when I jumped off the bed with that damn nightgown where you're butts hanging out.
Right. I've been in that nightgown a time or two.
And I turned around and I slammed my fist on the mattress and I said, I don't have these problems. This is systemic. I have a working medical background myself, right? I'm like, this is something
else. Your bullshit meter went off.
Huh?
Your bullshit meter went off.
Exactly. I just, and then I said, you tell that to my boyfriend when he comes in. And he did. He came back. He's a neurologist, a young neurologist. He came in and he said, yeah, well, it's possible. It's possible that she could become a quadriplegic. I'm like, anybody could become a quadriplegic in a car accident. Okay. It depends on how the accident is. Well, you never ride horses again. We don't think it's a good idea. I said, yeah, you know what? Army's going to stop me from doing that.
Right.
So they just argued with me and he said, get her chart together. I'm getting her out of here. And the guy's like, it's going to be 45 minutes to get a wheelchair. We don't really agree with being taken out. And Justin's like, I'll carry her out if I have to. I don't care, but I'm taking her out of here. Later on, I found out that was a killing hospital. Apparently had a reputation of bad doctors. Nobody really survived when they came out of that hospital. I had a virus.
Okay, hold up. Coming back. Okay. Whoa, dropping all the books there. Okay, you keep talking, Gina. I'm just taking the book out.
All right. I had a virus. And on top of it all, I had a condition in my feet. Yeah, I had a condition in my feet called plantar fasciitis.
Fasciitis.
That's what was causing the numbness in my feet.
I just want to see if I can get this in there. Can you read that for me?
How not to die from iatrogenic causes, or how not to die from doctors. Yeah.
Which is the number one way that we die.
I know.
In the United States of America.
Exactly.
Put that one in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, and here's Andrew asking a question. Should we not question others, what others tell us? Absolutely. I was having a hissy fit in the hospital, telling these four doctors that were seeing me. I go, and I told them, I'm being treated by Larry, Curly, and Moe. You guys are not talking to each other. You have no idea. I had enough of a background to know, yeah, not to die, how not to die. I had enough of a medical background to know, because the guy was like, oh, but you have stenosis. I'm like, everybody at my age has some form of stenosis. You're not talking to an idiot here. I've worked in physical therapy. I know some stuff. You're not talking to a complete blank paper here.
Right.
So I got out of the hospital. I went to my regular doctor. He says, you have a virus. If you'd had surgery, you could have died from
right.
having a virus and going under like that. And then I went to my podiatrist, and he goes, yeah, you have plantar fasciitis. Stop walking barefoot on the bare floor, because we have terrazzo and tile in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop walking barefoot. That was my issue. And if I hadn't questioned it, God only knows it. So it was interesting. The woman in the room next to me, in the bed next to me, she said, oh, my God, you're my hero. I heard you yelling at the doctors, and I'm in here because they think I've got cancer and I'm going to die, and they're not giving me the results. I said, go to check out and go to another doctor. Go to somebody. Do not be in this hospital. And she left. She left. But you have to question. You have to question. Here, listen.
This should be my new profile photo. This is going to be my new profile photo, how not to die. So everybody do a screenshot, okay?
I mean,
crap.
But that's what I'm saying. Just look, they go to school for all those years, and there's some fantastic doctors out there. And those doctors I hold on to. I don't travel around. I go to doctors that friends of mine that have big issues go to, and I know that they're seen and they're taken care of. There are some very good doctors, but there's some doctors out there that are not that great. And honestly, it's our job to question them.
It is our job to question them. And I'm just going to say this, and don't take this the wrong way, okay? So let me share the whole thing. I love it when doctors say, there's nothing we can do for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Send them to me. Send them to me. I'll show you what to do. It's not right. about what you're putting in your body. It's about what you're taking out, right?
That allows. Yeah.
Oh, it's totally. So if you can get rid of all the crap in your house that's toxic, you know, and the things you can't see and don't know about, like, it's amazing how your body just naturally heals itself. I'm not healing you, okay? I'm just showing the path for you to heal you.
Exactly. Well, it's just like in my coaching, too. I mean, we take some stuff out, but you're letting it go. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're letting it go. I'm just the guide. So it is. It's a lot of the stuff that we all the stuff that we put in our heart space to believe, our mind to believe. We put toxins in our body. But, like, you know, like you and I were saying earlier, it's all part of the program.
Well, so I published an article that, let me just see here.
No, I don't have it easily available. Maybe I do. Hold on. So let me find this. So, you know, I was as okay, so we know about the misdiagnosis, right? And I, you know, reversed all these conditions. But prior to reversing all these conditions using plants and energy-based healing, I'm going to show you something. Let me just bring this in there. Because the title of this article was, I Use My Body as a Toxic Waste Dump, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here it is in Topeka Health and Wellness Magazine. Let me remove, thank you, Naima, for your contribution. And so I Use My Body as a Toxic Waste Dump. It's published here. And what happened was the reason I wrote about this, and for those who never saw me as a toxic waste dump, here's a beautiful photo of me as the toxic waste dump. Well, here's the thing, guys. I was having really heavy, bloody, clotty periods, cramping, missing out on work. You know, I was missing out on life, right?
Yeah.
And my mom had just died 9 months earlier of ovarian cancer.
Oh.
So my thought was, pardon my French, get these the F out of my body, right? So get rid of these ovaries. They're dangerous. Now, mind you, I'm still sleeping. I'm not awake yet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is 2011. But when, you know, and it did help me heal because, and I didn't really take a look at the report, okay? So I got a period probably a couple months ago or a month ago or whatever, 2 months ago, and I thought, well, that's odd. I don't have any female parts. Right? How do you get a period with no female parts? Called the doctor, got the report for this surgery. And I said, I want to make sure I really had a full hysterectomy. And I did. But when I read the rest of the report, it said that basically I had parasitic cysts all over my female organs, such that they had to give me a full hysterectomy instead of just take the ovaries out. And the parasitic cysts were the size of apples.
Wow.
Yeah. Let that sink in. That's
yeah.
not the bad part. The size of apples is not the bad part. The inside of those apples were black or were brown and green. Brown and green.
Wow.
So if you are not giving your body what it needs, like, because I want to, like, just kind of share something. I was, keep in mind, before this, I was skinny, right? I was 125 pounds, benching 185. And so the toxins that were being put in my body had no place to go. So they created these cysts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they could store all the gunk. See, the body doesn't know how to process toxins. So it either puts it in your fat cells or creates a pocket for it to go.
Yeah.
And so if we don't question, do you think I questioned all these drugs they put me on? No.
Probably not.
No. And do you think that, and taking best back to the title, do you think they saw who we were? Do you think they saw you? Do you think they saw me? Do you think they looked at you as a spiritual being or as an opportunity to make some money? Because when you go back to the movie Avatar, we look at humanity, right? And I don't really align with humans anymore, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, okay, you guys can think I'm crazy, but I'm from another planet. And so, you know, Lemuria. And so when you understand that there's a concept and thought form that
people have to power over other people and tell them what to do that is existent here on Earth. And at Pandora, right, it was about being in harmony with nature, in harmony with each other, and loving each other, and praying and meditating and honoring the transition process and honoring the life and the honoring of the animals. And you, I mean, really?
I know. I know. I thought it was interesting when the one daughter that was so, oh, I just loved her. She was so magic. I can't remember her name. But she had that reaction, like a seizure, when she connected to the plant, the tree of the spirit tree in the water.
Yeah.
And they brought in
the young girl. Right. I remember her.
Yeah. And they brought in, you know, Jason brought in medical, like medical with, you know, computers and everything to look at her. And then the wife of the Navi of the ocean, right? He came in shamanically and healed her.
Yeah.
And said, get that crap out of here. I don't need that.
Right.
And so, and I have goosebumps right now. There's so much to that in the healing, the holistic healing and the hands-on. I mean, listen, you know, I'm a level 2 Reiki practitioner, right? And you actually, I mean, I have felt, you know, when you get the attunement, you feel this in your body. You feel it in your hands. Like when I got my second attunement, my hands were on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we absolutely possess the ability to do this stuff. And knowledge is power. So the more we know what we need and what we don't. You know, I remember several years back, all of a sudden I had a really bad experience eating a steak. I got really sick on it, right? And I used to eat meat. Like, I used to, you know, my family's South American. We eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Like, I was brought up Jewish. We eat everything.
Yeah. But I grew up being Brazilian. My dad's Brazilian. So I grew up eating a lot of that. And I got so sick, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the grossest thing ever. I'm never going to eat meat again. But I felt a call to start eating a lot of fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I do now. I mean, I'm addicted to blackberries, right? So I go into the grocery store and I buy like 3 or 4 containers of blackberries, and I have blackberries every day. I love them. They're so, and the dark fruits, you know. And you know, it does extend your telomeres too. In your
so
DNA.
It does, and actually, and it also. I wish Dr. Steven Spencer was listening. So when you have blackberries, right, combined with citrus fruits minerals, it allows the body to make the glutathione and to produce iron.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And so he put me on that because I was iron deficient. Now, you know, I'm a nutritionist. He's a nutritionist on steroids, lack of a better term. Thank you very much for understanding. just saying, brilliant. And Soraya says, haha, I don't align with humans sometimes either.
I know. I like animals better than humans all the time.
Oh, yeah. Right? Because, you know, it really made me cry, that movie, because...
I know, me too.
People are geared to power over other people and to take advantage, and that's not what we're here for. We're here for love. And so that's the programming that you have to get out of and start seeing people as love and start seeing them as the soul body, that they are here and that they are, you know... Look, I think that I need to teach people how to do that. And we didn't do the commercial last time. I want to do a real quick commercial just because I feel like I should. And we have everyone has so much to say here. We'll come right back to your comments. I'm really grateful. Thank you, Soraya.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
And Trey Trey said he created a YouTube watch party. Honey, I don't know what that is, but it sounds good, and I'm grateful. Thank you. And Trey Jackson, by the way, is teaching me about YouTube and how to monetize and how to do it, you know, that most optimal way. So if anybody needs help with their YouTube channel, Trey Jackson is your man. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Okay. I could probably use that too.
Oh, you have no idea how smart this guy is. No. And you know, and I'm not one to hand out those compliments that easily. He knows his stuff.
Good.
Yeah. So Trey Jackson, meet Gina Martin.
Hi, Trey.
Let me quickly.
Let's go do the. Come
on. Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Okay, so the other commercial I'm doing is a live commercial, and I'm going to share the screen. And I probably should have shared this earlier. It is what it is. So Dr. Steven Spencer and I are holding a Quantum Global Healing Initiative, and our goal is to achieve world peace through inner peace. And it's going to be, the first one is on the 7th of February, Tuesday night, so it's going to be the first Tuesday of every month. So the first one is Tuesday night. It's only $33. It's about 30 minutes to an hour, depending, most likely about an hour. It depends on what God calls us to do. And the first topic that we're doing is stepping into your own power. Again, it's only $33. 22% of the $33 is going to the Alliance for Natural Health and the Organic Consumers Association, who are fighting for our rights to natural health, okay? That includes your vitamins, your everything. So here's a $33, right? And actually, this is not even the link. I'll send the link out in the stream earlier, a little bit in a second. I have a Square link, like you just pay through Square. And then if you want to sign up next month, you can do that. If you don't want to, you don't do that. If you're interested, there's a Facebook page, and I'll put that in the link as well. But just to give you an idea, Stephen is, to go see Stephen, it's $300 an hour, and I'm $220 an hour, and you're getting it for $33.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does that put it into context? I hope so.
It's going to be online, though, right?
Online. This is for the world. So share this, please, and I will put the links. I've got the links for the buy button, and that is here. I'll put a comment. This is for the Quantum Global Healing, which is, again, 2-7. So there's that. And if you want to join the Facebook group, I can't even invite you anymore because I got banned for inviting too many people. I invited, 1,500 people, and Facebook got pissed off. What else is new?
That's just crazy.
Well, I don't really care. I mean, it is what it is. They're not the end all.
So I think this is, yeah. And so then here is the, I think this is, yeah, this is the Facebook page. So if you want to, I'm going to close that up. If you want to go to the Facebook group for the Quantum Global Healing. Oh, hold on a second, please. So that's my live commercial. And Pete, for $33, we can't, yeah, he says, I'd love the cost for 22%. Yeah, you notice the angel numbers? $33.33, 22%, you know. Yes,
that's a master number, by the way. 11, 22, and 33 are all master numbers.
Yeah. And, you know, and gosh, I don't know where the, okay. So I think we ended up, let me just go back to what everybody was saying. So Soraya, Sarai, Israel. What a beautiful name. She says, I don't align with humans either sometimes either. She, and actually people are looking for, Sarai, I want you to share your website. She does this clothing. She buys like, you know, used clothing and then she repurposes it and dyes it. And it's really amazing, her work.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's so artistic as hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I think she found me a dress. She says, you know, send me the dress. And I don't know what that is. Oh, Carrie is her name. Is that from the show, Sarai? Is that, do you think that's who Carrie is? The one we were talking about who got that download from her mom?
I don't know.
Remember in the movie?
Oh, Carrie. Right. Oh, maybe that was it. Yeah. No, her. So Carrie was probably the one from the ocean, the Navi from the ocean, the green.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Wait, I know. Natiri.
Natiri. Yeah. Thank you.
Natiri is the blue.
Yeah.
Forest. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things, so I'm going to kind of go through these quickly. Vieta says we're all in the Alien Club. Andrew would like us to have you share about your horse stories, which we're going to get to in about 2 seconds. Naima says she doesn't align with humans either. There's a genetic trait in my family. We're born with 6 fingers, but they're what? Surgically removed after birth.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, wow.
I love that they're not from Earth. Of course we're not, baby.
Yes, I know, right?
It's like a six-toed cat. I love them. They're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what? And when I, you know, so I think what we're all trying to say, and I'm so glad I had the guts to say it, I really don't think that I'm from Earth. I really don't. I know that I got dropped. You know, my friend and I, Kathy Wotel, from Illinois, Palatine, Illinois, feel like we got dropped into a family we don't belong into.
Right.
Because we
feeling.
Did. Mm-hmm. You know, so our souls came from another planet in a human form to do this work. And I
to
really,
do this work.
Yeah, and I really don't align with this.
Yeah, no. And yeah. I, you know, I remember my youngest son, Antonio, one day he says, he was young, he goes, oh, I don't like this planet. I want to go back. You know? He was probably 6 years old when he said that, you know, and I understood that because at 8 or 7, I had the same exact thought. So it's amazing when we're kids that we know, we can remember those things, you know,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, we go all the way back, but we were dropped here to do this work today for this shift.
Yeah. And the yes. And yes. And when I saw the movie, Avatar, and the first and the second, which I saw within 5 days of each other because I didn't watch movies back then in 2009 or just was checked out. But I watched it. I want to tell you that it completely aligns with what I saw for us non-humans.
Right, yeah.
So they call it Pandora. I called it Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that for us people. I've seen that for us. I've seen that beauty where we're at one with nature and one with each other.
Yeah, it's probably, it's probably 1,000 years from now that we get to that spot exactly, but we are on the path to that.
I don't want it to be 1,000 years.
I don't want it to be either, but...
How about 3?
But remember many, we do need to die. Where we leave this planet in our spiritual growth is where we'll come back. Mm-hmm. And based on where we are, if we're in fourth dimension, we may not come back for 1,000 years. So it will take those people, we, that were at that level to come back in 1,000 years for the earth to finish evolving. You know, and this is all in the Book of One, the Book of Ra, if you've ever read it. It's mind-blowing. Yeah. Same emotion, he's like this planet. Yeah, I get it. But we all know. I mean, that's why I love, I try to keep kids on to that beautiful childhood. Carrie, that's right. She's the one that had a seizure. Yeah. So
remember they said they wanted to cut into her?
Right. Right.
And they're like, no.
No. And she pulled it out. She went in and pulled it out. I loved that I could actually sit there and see them with their hands like this, and I knew they were doing Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nobody, I don't know if anybody else in the theater is getting this. Like, this is what's going on. I was very, very impressed with James Cameron doing this. I mean, this movie cost a couple billion dollars to do, but it's still scoring as, like, one of the highest movies, paying movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... the fact that it took him 20 years to get it back and going.
Well, good timing. Camera,
but it's all about timing. Yeah. So it was gorgeous. I'm going to watch it again. And
I'll go with you.
Yeah. Okay. I recommend you see it more than once because I saw it the second time with my oldest son when I was recently in Miami, Robert, he wanted to go see it. And he and I were like mesmerized.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up more stuff that I didn't get in the first time I saw it.
Well, that's why I watch movies more than once all the time.
I do too.
Yeah, I love to because, you get to see it from a different perspective. And we actually have someone calling in on Blog Talk who wants to ask a question. You want to take a quick question?
Sure.
I think it's Obadiah. It's 773-450, so I think I've memorized this number. I used to memorize numbers all the time. That's
me. Me too.
Well, you know, when I was at a bank, my very first job was at a bank, and people would come to the teller line, and I had their account number pulled up before they got to the window.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Sick memory for numbers.
Great memory, yeah.
Yeah, sick, yeah. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Okay, so welcome to the Female Solution Self-Care. Who's calling?
Good morning, Jody. How you doing?
Good morning. Is this Obadiah?
Yes, it is. How you doing, Jody? Great show.
Good. I recognize your number, Dolly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's a couple of questions I had to ask. You know, number one, we have to live in the present. So it's like, it's interesting to me, you know, as you go along and you're trying to see if you can do some improvement, it has to come from the individual that has to have the desire. They have to tell themselves something to make a change. Do you realize that when we speak, you know, words are not even, you know, I mean, I thought the things we say are so serious that they make a difference in what we can accomplish. I had a friend recently just decide to do something. They said, well, maybe I think I'll do that. And it didn't seem like it was going to work out, but in divine intervention, since we live in, you know, since we live in a dimension where out what we're going to do first before it even manifests itself, well, then why don't we speak into existence the things that we need? Why do we sit there and think that everybody else can teach us the directive when we have a computer-operated brain of our own? What's wrong with self-teaching, DIY, self-care?
Yeah.
You got all these different programs and all these people to help you. Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like
go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's many programs that you can.
And I'm going to let Gina answer your question.
Sure. I'll listen.
You know, there's nothing wrong with self-teaching, but I personally feel like you need to be open to other teachers out there as well, because they are all part of the puzzle that helps bring things to you sometimes when you need to hear them. So I follow a lot of spiritual teachers, and every single one contributes. I mean, if you know we are all one, we are all the part of the same consciousness, you know, then we know that we all give to each other.
Absolutely.
Yes. And
it's
should
necessary.
But we should. I mean, he's right. But the problem is, and you and I were talking about it, it's what we've been told externally. We've been told not to listen to our hearts and what's really inside. We've been taught, we've been brainwashed to listen to everybody else out there and our external.
That is brainwashed.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does. But, I mean, it is brainwashed. Well, I agree with you.
I can't hear him.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear him okay?
Hardly.
It's hard to hear. So
I wasn't sure if I had the right answer for you. I was guessing on what the question was.
Can you hear me now?
Is that better?
Well, I can hear you. It's just that you are, we had to convert our blog talk to a cell phone versus a computer because it wasn't plain night.
See.
And so your voice does not come in as well. And so,
okay. It's okay.
But I was just going to say, absolutely right.
We're all one being. That's why in society, when they teach all this division, it's foolishness. We need each other. It's a we, us, and our existence. So it's not about us competing with each other. It's more about us just sharing information. And where two people can share information, you can grow twice as fast because what you didn't think about, you can pick up from someone else. That's why we need each other. So it's really interesting how traditionally
I mean,
they teach us to be so.
You know, we're being guided to use more telepathy now, to really try to do more telepathy now. And eventually, we are going to all be telepathic. We are all going to be part of the same mind. We're going to know each other's. We're going to know each other's past and history and past lives and all that really cool stuff. And it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to take time, but we're on that path. So
absolutely.
Stay as awake as you can.
We had all of that.
And stay open to. There's so many great teachers out there. Chris was just mentioning something in a comment there. Yeah.
So
certain people come into your life that have something they need to say to you, messages and whatever, and we need to be able to listen to them.
Oh, the girls are coming in. My girls and my husband. Here we go. Faglis says, good morning.
Hello.
Yeah,
good morning. Thank you.
Thank you, sweet girl. Thank you for staying for a couple minutes. I'll say she's not staying. So she's just shy. You know, like, for instance, there's certain things we just can't hear on our own. And, you know, we talked about it. One of the things that I'm doing, because I can't hear what's going on completely for Fakala and Tinkerbell, I'm taking them to see my chiropractor friend, Dr. Wade Port, you know, in Marietta, Georgia, because her shyness, Tinkerbell's shyness, I don't think it's the shyness. I think, like, I've already closed all the portals on her body, but there's something else I can't hear or see that I don't have languaging for, and so I need another human other than spirit to bring that into language form so then I can then work with God to get, you know, the rest going on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that brings me to the point of we were going to lightly discuss my book.
Thank you. Let's just start, and we'll go a few minutes over if you have time.
That's okay. I just, because I wanted to relate that to the horses.
Thank you.
And to animals in general, but especially because I do the work of the horses. There are things that I can't even really explain when I put a horse with a person, with one of my clients. The horse just knows.
Yeah,
because the animals are so much more advanced than what they did. They do remember. Okay. And it comes out when I work with clients. I had a young 14-year-old in the arena with me a couple weeks back, very angry young girl. And I put Dodger, my Morgan, in the arena with her. I let the horses pick who they're going to work with, right? And so he walked into the arena with her with his ears back. Now, his ears back, he was bothered. He was not happy. But she had her ears back, right? So because horses will mirror what your attitude is, what you're going through, she was like, why is he being so mean to me? And I said, why are you being so mean? I don't know that she completely got that. You know, she thought about it, but she was still in her ego. And that's also something, that's also what the shadow work is for, you know? So,
ego, everybody, is edging E, God, G, out.
Mm-hmm.
Edging God out, ego.
Yeah, I love that. And I learned that from Wayne Dyer, who was brilliant, you know? So, yeah. And when you are in ego, when you edge God out, you're not having love, your heart. So you could either be a hostage to your ego or a host to love.
Right. And who's running your show when ego is in the house?
Yeah. So remember, you know, when we say, I see you, we also have to be able to see ourselves, see who we are. And I mean, I'm going through it too. You know, I am learning to do things a little differently in the way that I may interact with people or talk to people or accept, you know, their things. It's all for the highest good of everybody. And let me remind you, when we are healing ourselves, we are actually healing the planet as well.
Spot on. And that's why Dr. Stephen and I are doing that $33 session.
Yeah.
Because if you are choosing to self-heal, you know, I mean, then we heal the planet. Oh, okay. What is it that you need to say? She has something she needs to say because she's biting me. What is it that you need to say? But we were just saying that. She said, heal yourself first so you can heal the world.
Mm-hmm. And when we heal ourselves, we are healing the world. And when we do it collectively, I mean, we've got the Schumann residence way up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be at least 144,000. So we're there, right? And now we've got all the solar storms, the solar flashes, all that stuff coming in, which is also throwing more energy on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're going through a lot right now, but we have to stay focused. We have to stay open. We have to see ourselves. We have to truly see other people and remember that we are all God. We all want to experience polarity, and to see ourselves is to see who we truly are. To see another is to see who they truly are. And really, we're all each other, you know, we're all each other.
Yeah. And I want to share about a book. It's called Living Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written by this rabbi. I forget his name, but it's Living Judaism. And you have to read the whole book. I never did, to be honest, because I got to the preface. It was so amazing. I just stuck there. And what he talked about was that when God was filling, you know, making earth, he breathed in the light of his own radiance, and he had no place to put it. And so he put it into these glass vessels that held his light, but that the light couldn't hold, the vessels couldn't hold God's light, his radiance. And so I think it's like on the seventh day, all those glass vessels burst, right? And so the shards of God, of glass or God's light made up each one of us as a human.
That's interesting.
And so to your point, Dina, we are all God.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether or not we choose to exercise that is our divine right. I think, you know, to live with God, walk with God, talk with God, and more importantly, listen to God, will help us go in front of us.
And that is another thing. We've got to stay present. Mm-hmm. When you're in the present, you're not thinking about your past. You're not thinking about all the, if you've done your shadow work, and we are still doing shadow work.
We're always, yeah.
Try to stay in your present as much as you can when you come out of that one, you know, one more shadow. I call it an AFGE, which I can't use the word on air. Another
flipping.
Growth experience.
Another flipping what experience?
Another effing growth experience.
Yeah, another flipping growth experience.
Okay,
flipping.
You can say that too.
Yeah.
But basically, that's what the shadow work is. So every time you come out of it, you work more. You get more out of it.
Yes,
you grow.
And there, what I want to say, though, I want to talk about the past just for a brief moment because everyone goes, oh, it's in the past, it's in the past. Don't talk about the past. You can talk about the past if you can use it as a tool for your future of what to do or what not to do. Use it as a tool, but don't live in the past. Use it as a tool, as a resource to recreate.
Well, that's why everyone says, and everyone's trying to screw with history right now, knocking down statues and everything, and you have to remember where we came from so we don't go there again. And I do believe that. And your past, you know, once you work on your healing, your past will always be part of your history.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be your present, but it is part of your history. So, yes, you can use it as a tool, you know, but absolutely.
And how do you know that you're using it as a tool versus breathing into the past versus breathing into the future? Is whether or not are you triggered by what you're experiencing? Are you triggered by your past, or are you using it and you being an observer, right?
Being the observer is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can become the observer more, we our reaction, which is key, is better. We handle things better. We don't react in a knee-jerk way of getting angry and telling somebody off or hurting their feelings, you know?
Right. Right. We don't want to do that. And
yeah.
So I just want to make sure everyone knows how to get in touch with you and how to get in touch with me. You know, our numbers are posted. Gina 786-473-9494. I'm 847-738-0242. I know I offer free consults. Gina, do you offer free consults as well?
Yes, I do.
Yes, awesome. That's what I thought. And so, you know, thank you everyone who chimed in today. And for those who didn't chime in, we're grateful for you holding space. We
yep.
feel you. We
Great
feel
comments
you.
On this show today. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. You know, the fact that you were willing, all of you, to contribute your thoughts is huge. Keep that throat chakra open wide.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is huge. This is good. I love to see this. We will be back here next week with Michelle Froge, and we're going to be talking about self-love. And she has a self-love challenge. And I encourage you, if you or have not already reached out to Michelle Froge, she's doing this for $28 for 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, reach out to her. Look, people, all of us healers are trying to do something for you at a price that's, like, so easy so that you can get what you need. So we're here to serve you, and we also know that you're here to serve us and teach us. It goes both
yeah.
ways. And so
now, let me just mention one quick little thing. I'm actually bringing on another life coach with me.
Wow.
And she specializes in Asperger's and autism.
Nice.
Her name is Jennifer. She's awesome. She's also a psychic.
and she's a great friend, and she's a horse person too, like me. So yeah, I'm actually, my business is starting to grow, and I'm bringing her on because I've had some children that really need a specialist in that area. Instead of getting all drugged up, she's got other methods, and yeah, so I just want to mention that too.
You know, along those lines, may I? So Vieta Robinson, let me just pull her up here. Functional food program, that's $99. And then there's, if you want coaching, there's other coaching packages, I think for like $1,000 for, you know, 8 sessions. And, but anyways, where's Vieta's thing? Well, Vieta Robinson was on here. Oh, she had it as a tiny house. That's why. So this is Vieta. She's got her one for Vieta's Tiny House Village, but she's also one of our talk show hosts. And so she's going to be, she is one of our coaches, right, for Susan Essentials for the Functional Food Program about toxic-free living. So, yeah, we're growing here too, and we're trying to expand our community to make it easy for people to reclaim their health and reclaim their thought process and, you know, all of that. Anything else you got going on? You and I have an event April 1st, right? That's the way you say.
Yep.
We haven't designed all of that yet, but keep that date open, April 1st. I think, is that a Saturday?
Let me look at my phone real quick.
Yeah, it is. April 1st.
Is it Saturday?
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just have a lot of different ways for you to explore your own self, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what it's about. It's about getting to know who you are, all right?
Yeah, exactly. And we all have the same goal. So, you know, just to be healing. We're all light workers, so come to us.
Yeah. Please. It'd be quite an honor. And then for any of you who need really cool clothing, Soraya Israel, Trey Jackson will make your YouTube channel shine. Just going to say, all right. All right, everybody. I think, are we covered?
I think so.
All right. So God bless everybody. I'm just going to run our little brand here. And Gina, if you hang out for a quick second for me. There we go. Everyone, rock your week. Okay? Live into your fullest power.
Yep. Bye.